Well, this morning we're joined on the phone by an old friend, John Mark Nielsen, the former director of the Danish Immigrant Museum, now known as the Museum of Danish America in Elkhorn. How are you this morning?
I am doing just fine, thank you. I'm adapting to retirement.
Does it sound strange to hear former director?
That's right.
You've had time to plan for all this, and you've spent a lot of time with this. I just kind of wanted to come back and kind of go over some of what happened up there over the years, because you were really in on this from the ground floor.
I was, right. Yep. I can go off on a long, long story here, but yes, I was a part of the original committee that was searching for a site for a museum to celebrate the Danish presence in the United States. And yes, and I can remember it well. February 1983, we met in Elkhorn. And then following that meeting, newly elected Governor Branstad, for the first time, was there, as well as I think there must have been about 400 people from the surrounding area, Atlantic, Audubon, Harlan. I mean, they crowded into the old gym there. We returned from that meeting to what was then the Wise Owl Motel, located out on Interstate 80 there, coming into the east side of Atlantic, and there we made the decision to locate the museum in Elkhorn, Kimbleton.
I'm sure at the time there were plenty of folks around here that believed, well, there's no better place for it than there in the Danish villages, but then there were probably some many others who said, seriously?
That's right, and not only many others then, but that has always continued to be just a little bit of a kind of undercurrent of a challenge for the museum. But I have always advocated that even upon retrospect, that Elkhorn, Kimbleton, and the three-county area of Audubon, Cass, and Shelby County was a strong place to locate the museum. Because had we, and I can... many people know this, that the other community that was really in the running for the museum was Minneapolis, the Twin Cities. But I think had we located in the Twin Cities, we would have become a museum of the Danes in the upper Midwest. And I don't think that Danes from Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, down to Los Angeles and Phoenix, out to Chicago, and down to Houston, and out to the east, I don't think they would have resonated with the museum located in the Twin Cities. We would have been more of a regional museum. I think our location has necessitated that we've had to reach out, and reach out in ways that have engendered the kind of support, the broad support across the country that we enjoy.
You know, you look at some of the large metropolitan areas, the large cities across the country, and during the time when so much immigration was going on from the European countries, it seemed like some of the different nationalities seemed to gravitate to certain places, and they kind of grew the communities, so to speak.
Right.
It seems like Danes, though, in large measure, seemed to prefer the rural areas.
Well, there were many, and of course, the Audubon, Cass, Shelby County areas are amongst the most heavily populated. Certainly, they have the highest number of individuals claiming Danish ancestry. But there were important Danish communities and cities as well. Chicago, in particular, had a major presence. We were just up, my successor, Rasmus Thuesen, and I were just up in Racine. And we know about Racine Kringle and that. They had a large Danish presence, but really Omaha had so many so many individuals who came over in the late 19th and early 20th century and settled in Omaha. So yes, there's a real rural settlement, but there is also a presence in the cities as well.
You bet. Well, in a place that you used to work, Dana College, the former Dana College over in Blair, Nebraska, I'm sure that played a part in all this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it did, because, and actually the individual who came up with the idea for the museum, Norman Banson, my mentor, was an English professor at Dana, and I followed him there. And Dana played an important role, but equally important was Grandview, then college, now Grandview University in Des Moines, they individuals there too kind of came alive with the idea that we ought to have a museum. And so it happened really rather quickly in the late 70s. And then because of Dana's location, Grandview's location, also Des Moines, many Danish Americans in Des Moines, but also the many Danes in Omaha, the Danish Brotherhood headquarters was located in Omaha, for example. So that meant that, you know, this area had a wonderful claim to having the museum in the midst of it.
You bet.
Elkhorn Gibbleton turned out to be perfect because it was halfway between Des Moines and Omaha.
It seems to be working.
Yep.
Seems to be working. I want to talk a little bit about your time at the museum. I know you've been involved in it since the very beginning, but as executive director, there were a few others there before you as executive
right.
director.
Yes.
But in your time as executive director there, what are you most proud of when you look back?
Well, there's a whole list of things, but I've always said that starting off, I'm so pleased with our internship program. We were able to secure a grant from the Scan Design Foundation in Seattle, Washington, to bring two graduate students every 6 months over to the museum from Denmark. And so it actually started even before we secured the funding. We had some interns who were graduate students. But since the beginning of that program, we've had over 30 graduate students from Denmark. And then we also were able to secure funding for American graduate students. And the possibility of young Danes and Americans living together and learning from each other and then having an impact on we the staff. Because I can say that when I came to the museum in 2003 as director, we had 10 full-time people, 10 full-time employees, and that number has not increased. We're still at 10. However, we've been able to do a lot of things, both with the vision of the employees that we've been able to attract, and then also with the support of those of the interns. So that's been really, really important. Second issue that I think has been really important is increasing our national visibility. When I came to the museum, there were constituencies around the country that were aware of us, but we have made a real push to be present in those communities. And that stretches from, I say, the West Coast to the East Coast. So that's been an important part of the transformation that has occurred during the last, now, 13, going on 14 years since I came as director. And then I would say, thirdly, I've been so pleased with what we've been able to do with the physical plant. We've been able to address the infrastructure to be sure that we have a functioning boilers and the roof, the new roof on the museum. Actually, it's not new. It's about 10 years old now. The new expanded building, the Christensen Curatorial Center, and then the development of the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park surrounding the museum. I've taken real satisfaction in that. We have a picture of me walking out of the museum in my new role in 2003, and it doesn't look as aesthetically beautiful then as I think it does now. So there's at least three things that I'm proud of.
Well, I'm sure there had to be at least a five-minute period in there somewhere where people scratched their heads wondering, what are we going to fill this place up with? But it sure didn't take long. Sure didn't take long, did it?
No.
Yeah, you've really had a lot of luck with donations.
That's been also a very important part of the outreach. And that's why, Jim, I have actually annually spent 30 to 35% of my time on the road traveling. In fact, last year it was 40%, and that means visiting donors, speaking in various communities around the country, and it's that kind of presence that I think has elicited the kind of support. So maybe it's not overt begging. I don't know that we Danes respond to begging very well, but the presence is there.
Well, you do what you got to do, you know, when you just don't have the money guaranteed to you coming in.
No.
It's a little harrowing sometimes.
No, and we are a private museum. We have a budget approaching $1.5 million annually, and we have to raise that. We raise that from our constituency, from foundations, from bequests, and so it takes a lot of work. And that's just providing the funding. Then there is the professional work of caring for the artifacts and for creating the exhibits that we have traveling the country. We've seen a lot happen, and when I reflect on it, sometimes I wonder, how did we get it all done?
Well, I tell you, one way you've gotten it all done, I can't get through with this without mentioning staff. You've had some really good staff there.
Absolutely. Over the 13, 14 years that I've been there, we've been able to put together an outstanding team. I hesitate to mention any one of them because each of us have contributed to the success. A success that I'm very hopeful will result. We spent the prior year and a half getting ready for and submitting our application for accreditation by the American Alliance of Museums. And this was a staff effort. This was a board effort. We've submitted it. We've had our on-site visit. And we should be hearing in the next week or two whether we receive accreditation from the American Alliance of Museums. Fewer than 5% of the museums in the United States are accredited. And if we're able to achieve that, and I'm confident that we're going to be able to, that says something about the staff, it says something about the membership, it says something about the commitment to the vision of the museum.
You bet. And when I say staff, I should have said staff and volunteers.
Yes, because I want to give a shout out to the Atlantic Friends of the Museum. When the museum came into existence, one of the strategies was to create what we call local area committees. And the Atlantic Friends of the Museum are one of the last two that continue to have a strong presence. There are various others around the country, but they don't have quite the activity that one notes in the Atlantic Friends of the Museum. And so our presence in the area and the support from Atlantic and from Audubon and Harland and the counties as well. But that local area committee is remarkable.
Well, we sure appreciate all the work that you've done over the years and help to coordinate and the friendship as well. We appreciate everything that you've done. Thanks so much, and enjoy your retirement.
Well, and I appreciate KJN. We did have recordings from KJN for a time, and that was one of the activities that we felt we had to cut back on as we pushed other strategic initiatives. So that's been much appreciated. KJN has been much appreciated too.